with us today. We do have with us on the line Rachel Horman, who's a director and head of family at Watson Ramsbottom Solicitors, specialises in coercive control, stalking and forced marriages as well. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. Good afternoon and welcome to the Drive Time Show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for being with us. The topic that we're discussing is, of course, domestic abuse. Could you just define what, according to the law, what defines domestic abuse?
Well, the government extended its definition of domestic abuse in 2012, and what they say constitutes domestic abuse is a pattern of incidents of controlling, coercive or threatening behaviour, violence or abuse. So it's quite clear that that not just includes physical violence, which I think most people understand, but it also includes things like psychological abuse, sexual abuse and financial abuse. And those sometimes are areas which get overlooked really when we think about domestic violence.
Yeah, yeah, most certainly. And as a solicitor of domestic abuse, what is the hardest thing that you find about dealing with victims and their abusers?
I think for me, the hardest thing that I come across really is the lack of action taken by the police often when victims report incidents to them. It's really frustrating when you hear victims that have been through a horrendous time and they pluck up the courage to actually go to the police and open up about what's happening. And too often they're turned away. I had a client a few years ago who came to me. She'd been to the police to tell them that she'd been forced to eat all of her meals out of a dog bowl on the floor.
Oh, wow.
And the police just said, come back when he hits you. And that was one of the reasons we started to campaign for a law to cover that type of behaviour, the coercive control legislation, which came into force in 2015, which does cover that kind of psychological abuse. But before 2015, that type of thing was not really illegal.
And why is it that you think the police are turning such individuals down? I mean, we know from statistics that this is the number one problem that people are seeing these days. And so, for them to turn such individuals down, what would the reason for this be?
Well, obviously, you know, they will say resources to some extent, training, etc. But for me, I think that it's an attitude problem. And the police seem to meet victims with an attitude of disbelief almost, so that victims have to almost prove what's happening to them before the police will even take the pen out of their pocket and take a statement.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that domestic abuse is just not taken seriously enough at the moment. And whilst the police say it is, when we look at what's happening on the ground, it's not following through.
And in regards to, like you just mentioned as well, the victims not having any, let's say, physical abuse, often there is the accusation that a victim is actually lying about being abused just because there's no sort of physical evidence. In such cases, what approach do you take into ensuring that a victim of emotional abuse has the same opportunity to tell their truths and have a fair chance of having their case taken seriously?
Well, obviously, the first thing is about listening. And when you've got a case that doesn't contain physical abuse, so you've not got a client that comes to you with a black eye or a broken bone, that is perhaps is more obvious to evidence, you've got to really sit down and talk through with them what's happening. And individually, the incidents may seem insignificant, but when you put them all together, it's quite horrendous. And you can imagine how psychologically that would be horrendous, the impact on them. But quite often there is evidence available. They might not have a black eye, but there will be bits of evidence around, and it's my job really to look through that. For example, if they're being financially controlled, that can often be evidenced by their bank statements, by the lack of access they have to money. Perhaps the victim has kept a diary of what's happening to them, has told people at work. Perhaps the perpetrator has turned up at work and caused the scene. But often there is evidence, but it really is about sitting down, listening and looking for that evidence.
Yeah, most certainly, and that evidence may be, like you mentioned, in their bank statements and things of that sort, and also in their behaviour as well, because they'll be afraid, and they'll and there's so many other factors which come into play in this as well, isn't it? Data released from the Office of National Statistics show that women are 53% more the victims compared to men. In this regard, what is the success rate of women winning domestic abuse cases, and how do you feel personally about the rate? I mean, is it good, or do you still think more needs to be done for victims of abuse?
I think a lot more needs to be done for victims of abuse. It's very difficult for victims to come forward and to tell the police. And like I say, if they are then turned away, a victim may not go back a second time. And unfortunately, we see cases where victims have complained about domestic abuse and been turned away by the police. And then they've ended up being murdered.
Oh, wow.
So we really do need to take this seriously. And when you look at the vast majority of domestic homicides, which tend to be women, when you look at what's happened in the run-up to that murder, quite often, more often than not, there has been a report of domestic abuse and stalking to the police, and usually the police have not done enough, and then that's resulted in a murder. And if you think about it purely in terms of economics, you know, it costs well over £1 million to investigate a murder. So what we need to do is put more resources into stopping the domestic abuse as soon as it's reported, to stop it escalating to that level.
Definitely. I mean, it's such a difficult thing for someone to actually open up and speak to someone about this. And like you've mentioned, individuals do go to the police and report what's happened, but they get told to sort of go back, isn't it? And because of that, they will. I'm sure most cases, and plus 90% of the individuals who this happens to, wouldn't want to go back or even think about going back to any organisation, because they'll feel as if they're just going to be let down again. But in this regard, what sort of advice or guidance would you give to any victim of abuse, and why as well?
Well, even though victims do get turned away, my advice would be keep reporting it, and eventually the police will listen. You know, you keep reporting it, don't take no for an answer. It is a lottery to some extent, depending on who you speak to and which officer comes to the door. But the more you report it, the more it forces the police. It will turn up in their reviews, and it will be taken more seriously. But I think the other thing that victims can do is to access a charity that specialises in domestic abuse. They have fantastic staff that can help victims for free, can guide them, can actually help them in speaking to the police and trying to persuade the police to take it seriously. And I would also advise victims to get legal advice very quickly, because domestic abuse isn't just about the criminal law and the criminal side of it. It also affects lots of other things, such as, you know, divorce, separation, the children. There are lots of things to think about in terms of that. And even if you're not sure that you do want to leave, get the advice and then decide. And I think if you've got the advice, you can make a better choice then.
Definitely. Thank you, Rachel Horman, for being with us and answering our questions and sharing your thoughts and your experiences with us as well. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.